baseline, and one of the primary parts of this is, or when I say primary parts, the primary concept we're talking about here is building our lives in the place that no one sees, right? What people see is just a piece of us, right? And matter of fact, and I know I've said this, I'm going to probably say it every week and every lesson, because it's a really an important part, is we can really do good to make fancy on the part that everybody sees, right? You know, because that's, we want to have a good appearance, a good representation, so forth like this, so we can do that. But you can't do that perpetually, right? Can we get just down just a little bit, Matthew, I think? Maybe I'm in front of the speaker, kind of, he doesn't like it. So what we, when we build something, when we invest in what do we call that place, is that the foundation, we build the foundation of our life, we can build something, we have something we can build upon. And that's really going to be the case, is if we have that relationship with the Lord, and it is built as a foundation, well, what we build upon it will be real. Not in a way of pharisaical or a way of showy, right? It'll be something that's real. And it's hard. And this, we talked about this last week, really this thing of how much time and effort goes into building the foundation. You know, establishing the foundation and putting all the things that we talked about that in Alaska and California, they have to build for the earthquakes and so forth. Here we have to build for the hurricanes. And so a lot of groundwork that seems pointless. I mean, to people that don't know, right? You're watching, you're waiting for that new restaurant to come on. Will they hurry up and get that thing built, right? You know, it's coming. And so, but the fact is, if the work and the foundation is so very important to get that. So we talked about one of those, we're talking about as one of the elements. One of the elements of the foundation is what we've been talking about. This lesson is that element of trust. We have to trust God, learning to trust God. And so we dealt with this last week. We talked about Elijah coming and the word of the Lord coming to Elijah to tell him that there's going to be no rain or no dew. We just mentioned it. You know, imagine, okay, no rain. We've gone without rain, right? We've gone without rain for a period of time. Sometimes, I mean, it could be a drought almost every year. I mean, in Texas at times, it would rain. I mean, it'd be a drought so long, you'd have cracks in the ground that would be 6-8 a foot, you know, a foot wide, you know, and you're like, wow, this is, I mean, not all the time, there's sometimes those kind of things. But here he said, not only rain nor dew, not even any moisture on the ground. And I was just saying to Brother Todd here just a minute ago, I said, even we haven't got a lot of rain recently, but our grass still keeps growing, right? And so, which we're glad for that, well, he is too, you know, and we're glad for that because we want to get some more growing back here now. And so we see some of that stuff. But so there's a deal that Elijah had to trust God. And so what happened when Elijah told the king and told, you know, that there's going to be this drought, who was blamed then? Who was blamed? Did they blame God? They blamed him. We say, don't shoot the messenger, but we usually do, you know, the person that's telling us. And so, so Elijah had to flee because, you know, they want to kill him. Kind of happens when you get blamed. I mean, in that day, seems like in that day, through the Old Testament, even in the New Testament, the Pharisees, every time they didn't like the way religion's going, they said, let's kill somebody. That's their way of fixing it. Let's kill somebody. And that's what they did. And they eventually did kill Jesus. But, many others, you know, Steve and, you know, those along the way. So, talking about the thing of trust. And so, Elijah first, under that, number one, A, it was, so number one was the trust of Elijah, if you didn't want to fill those in, the trust of Elijah. And then, A was, and this is what we did last week, so I'm going to run through these. A was go to Cherith. And so, the brook Cherith, and so he's going to go there, and at the brook Cherith, how was he going to get fed? By ravens. He's going to drink water from the brook. I'm sure it was, Well, probably it's a lot cleaner than our stuff today. I mean, didn't need to put no bleach through it then. But so getting water through this brook, and ravens would come bring him food. We talked about that last week, what that, you know, I've seen turkey vultures all around here, and I don't want them bringing me food. But this is what trust is. Sometimes God's going to ask us to do something that is so absolutely ridiculous, far from us, that we think, there's no way, me on my own, I would do this. But God says, do this and trust Him. And so we kind of go through this process. And so he went through that, and God promises, listen, God promises to guide those who will trust Him. So that's all the further we got last week. I know, it's pretty sad. So we're on, you're looking at, we're at the second page, kind of the second one down, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Can I get somebody to read Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? Who want to raise their hand? Okay, Brother Ed. All right. So we can, we'll find here that what God has this, what He says to do is trust Him. And if we trust Him, I want to say this is conditional. It's a conditional concept here. If we trust the Lord and we lean not on us but on Him, and we'll acknowledge Him, then He will direct our path. The problem is, the person that gets in the way of this most of the time is us. I get in my own way when I want, because I want to go back to what makes sense to me, right? Logic. Does God's way go against human logic? Often it will, because it's this thing of saying, not always. Everything isn't illogical, but some of it is because God wants us to trust Him and not me. You know who I want to trust? I want to trust the guy I look at in the mirror, right? Because I can say, okay, I understand this. And so God says, I want you to realize you don't know as much as you think you know. Right? We're good at that, aren't we, guys? No, not at all. You know, we figure it out. A problem comes up. You know what we want to do? Solve it. And by the way, God's made us that way. Okay, that's not a bad thing, okay? That is, God made us that way. So don't say, I need to quit solving. Women say, you just need to quit solving my problems and listen to me. We're going to get to that this morning. But the fact is, we are who we are. God made us that way. But what He also has to do then is help us to see that we don't have all the answers. We've got to get to that. So look here at then next one, Psalm 18:30. Somebody read that. Let's read that.
As for God, His word is perfect. The word of the Lord is kind. He's a buckler to all those that trust in Him.
Okay. So here's the thing. Here's what I want us to think about. We got to understand this. God's way is what? It's perfect. My way is flawed. Okay? Man's way is flawed, not just mine. I'm not just like, Pastor, what's wrong with that? Man's way is flawed, right? So God's way is perfect. Here's the thing I want us to think about. Our growth in the Lord, our growth in the Lord is going to be based on faith. Okay? Not to be confused with doing. Let this sink in for a second. If I, just because I do more, I show up for work day, right? We get a lot of work done. We come do that, which is great. I mean, but me doing stuff doesn't always correspond to my growth in the Lord, right? Faith is, it's going to be my faith that's going to be develop that growth in the Lord. Look at Romans 14. Somebody read Romans 14, 23, the next one there. So it's really this. It's this thing of what he's dealing with is whatever we do in faith. Now, that's a big ask, really. Whether you eat, whether you drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. He talks about this thing that everything we do, we're going to do in faith. And if it's not a faith, then it's sin. That it, man, wow, what a challenge. Sometimes what we want to do is see something like the Word of God, like, yeah, this is just what we should do. Just do that. Right? Like it's casual. The Word of God isn't written to us to tell us how easy living for the Lord is. Amen? It's not about just, hey, just do this and do, oh, okay, man, okay, I just didn't know the roadmap. Now that I know it, it's going to be easy. No, that's not the case. God is giving us, God doesn't move the mark down to us so it'll be easy for us. Right? Now, are there times that we would like it to be a little easier for us? That's called every time. Right? But there's a, you ever got to a place that have you ever worked for somebody that the bar was so low that people hardly got any work done and it frustrated you? Y'all have seen that. I mean, the bar is so low, you're like, man, come on. And, you know, and I don't want to get into too many things, but different places you've been like, come on, can we do something? Well, I've done my job. You're like, yeah, but come on, let's quit sitting. Can we just, and you'll say, so can we just raise the bar a little bit? Right? And, except for, and then you're like, yeah, and then you hear somebody, yeah, we're going to start doing this. And you're like, so thankful for that. Well, then they raise the bar higher than you wanted it to be raised. All of a sudden, you're like, I liked it better. I liked it better when it was. So what God does, He doesn't do this adjusting thing. He says, here's perfect is, which is Him, and that's where to press toward the mark. For the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so what He wants us to do is, this is it. But I want us to grab this thing here. The Word of God isn't telling us what perfection is so that we can be discouraged by why we're not perfect. Let me say it again. It's not there to say, this is how pitiful you are, brother, because you're not doing everything God says for you. No, the Word of God isn't here to beat us up about how bad we are. Okay? It's to give us a mark to where we know what to strive for and to be heading towards that way. And this is a thing of growth. Hebrews 11:6. So who wants to read? Somebody read that one. Go ahead. Yeah. But without faith, it is what? Really hard. Really, really hard. Really, 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 really. Put more really. No. So what pleases God? Faith. What pleases God? Doing? See, man, this is tough because you're going to say, so you don't think we need to do stuff? You know, I've already preached the book of James, you know. Show me thy works. Show me thy faith by thy works, right? So works is the biblical works is the fruit of faith. It's not the avenue of faith. We don't work, do stuff for Jesus to get faith. Faith is where it starts. God is pleased with what we believe about Him. Okay? And without Him, and now when faith gets involved in everything, this is the very principle of this thing of trust, this thing of faith, this thing of building that foundational relationship with the Lord that I can trust Him. And if we can't trust God, anything that we try to accomplish in our life is always going to be subpar. It's going to be, we're going to be like the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Right? Somebody thinks, you know, I'm going to build this great building with 10-foot footers. It's going to lean. And here's the challenge. And we talked about the Leaning Tower of Pisa last lesson. But the thing is, they tried and tried. Remember, I can't remember that number. It was I think it was over $100 million, $125 million. Does that sound right? That they spent to try to, and they got it 12 inches. 12 inches is all they were able to correct it. And so what happens is when we can't just think we're going to build this great Christian life and realize, okay, I'm out of sorts. Now I'm just going to go back. I'm just going to go back and make a couple tweaks in my life and fix it all. No, the foundation. Now we can go back, but you know, sometimes what we have to go back is what we'll have to realize is what I built on my Christian life wasn't very Christian at all. It was mostly this guy making it look like him. So we have to go back to the foundation. And so this is, without faith, it is impossible. Impossible. So trusting God, though, it's a lifelong privilege. So growing in our Christian walk will require our constant surrender to follow God's direction. Surrender is a bad word, right? No surrender, right? Surrender in this way is a way of being subject or surrendering to God is a challenge. Because you know what I have to do? I have to go against sometimes my own good sense that maybe isn't so good. But it is good sense. And sometimes I have to go, I might have to do something in my job or in my life. You ever, I've done this kind of thing, you go into a store and they go and they give you too much change back. And you're like, they're bad, right? No, because now I've got to deal with that. I'm like, now I'm going to say, so am I just going to say, thank the universe for my extra money? Or am I going to say, no, I've got to be right with God and give it back? And I've had people through the years, this happened, it's not all the time, but it's happened. And you go and say, hey, you give me the wrong change. And just down the gas station down here, a few weeks ago, a month ago, whatever. And the lady just looked and I said, no, you gave me, you know, it's just like an extra dollar. It wasn't big. It was like, wow, thank you. And it's like so unusual. I was out at Lowe's and I've got this order. We built this deck. So I got these screws and the screws are ridiculously expensive. And I got two boxes of screws and I got this decking. So I went and while I was there in order, I actually took the screws with me. So I came back and I got the other for them to load, you know, get together so they'd load up on my, you know, my trailer. So I came back. It was a couple of days later. They had to order some things, I guess. So I got back there and they came out there and had another set of those screws on there. I'm like, sweet, free. No. And I told the guy, I said, yeah, I already got these before. Again, he's thinking, and he's like, wow, thank you for... You know, so it goes against our good sense. You know, I could have took those and brought them back and got a refund and got, you know, and stole from them, right? So what I'm saying is following the Lord, trusting the Lord, goes against our good sense, right? Goes against sometimes logic. And I don't mean us, but I mean just human nature. And so it's a bit of a challenge, but it requires us to constantly follow God's direction. And you know when it's hardest to follow God's direction? When we're tired, when we're already discouraged, life is not going our way, you know, maybe the wife is upset or the kids are normal, something's, you know, work is, and you're frustrated, and that's when we'll actually, it becomes harder and harder. So it has to be this consistent, constant surrender to follow God's direction. So the moment we reject it, we will begin to digress in our Christian walk. The moment you mean every single time we reject surrendering to God's will in His direction, we're going to digress every time. It's not so if we think we can have this full I'm going to live for the Lord, but over here I'm just going to kind of veer away on this thing, then the rest is going to be okay. It doesn't work like that. It's the whole deal. So it's a challenge. It is a challenge. So we must keep trusting God, even when He directs us to places like Cherith, right? That seem unlikely and insignificant where He went, and it's ridiculous, and how God's going to take care of us there. And He does, and He wants to take us those. So Cherith became Elijah's haven of protection from King Ahab. It became that place. But a day came when this refuge could no longer provide for Elijah's needs. And so at this point, the Lord sent him to an even more unlikely location. Right? So B, to go to Zarephath. So write that. It's in your blank if you want to keep that. So B is, so the next thing was to go to Zarephath. So in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 9, it says this, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there." So he arose and went to Zarephath. Now, if you were to look at a map of Israel during that time, you would see that going to Zarephath was not the logical choice of where to send Elijah. You know, God could have sent any place, and God doesn't send things according to our logic, right? So Zarephath was a Mediterranean town. It was 7 miles from Zidon. Okay? So you say, so what's the big deal about Zidon? You know? So does Zidon mean anything to any of us? Anybody? Say, well, John, you know what Zidon means, don't you? No, we don't. That's my point. It doesn't mean anything to us. But here's what I want you to know. This was the hometown of Jezebel's father. Right? Jezebel, we're familiar with her. She's known as what? Promiscuous. What kind of queen was she? Maybe one of the best ever? No. Evil. She's wickedness embodied. I mean, nobody would ever name their daughter Jezebel. Right? Her life ended with dogs licking her blood. You know, I'm saying this is, wow. So, here he is. God says, I want you to go to her hometown, right? Going to Zarephath would be equivalent to an American moving into the heart of a terrorist city as an American. Like, this is ridiculous, right? And so this is kind of what's going on. So God's direction would not have made sense to Elijah, but he obeyed. So Elijah gives this picture of obedience even when it seems ridiculous. But that's not the only thing. Okay. Not only the place, okay? Not only did God send Elijah to an unlikely location, he sent him to an unlikely person. Who did he send him to? A widow. The widow of Zarephath. This is a lovely situation. Verse 9, again, it says there, "Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." We went from a raven bringing you bread, meat, to, kids are having fun. They went from bread and meat to, now we're going to go to, a widow is going to take care of you. Right? What a situation. So, could you imagine having some questions? Right? I imagine Elijah had plenty of questions for God. Regarding how this was going to work out. So, God, I trusted you for the raven, which is ridiculous. But now a widow? Well, we're going to get there. Yeah, we're about to get there. Yes. Well, that's the thing. Well, this is here. The food service via ravens, okay, right? That was the Uber Eats, right? While... Would you order from Uber Ravens? You know, I don't know. Amen. Raven Eats? I don't know. I don't. Anyway, so while surprising at first, seemed to work out pretty good for him. Now, I don't know how great it was, but you know, it must have been pretty good. He survived. So why must you know? Could you? Let me try this one. You ever had God put you in a really uncomfortable situation, and you're like, "Nah, I don't want to do that. I don't want that job. I don't want that position. I don't want that home. I don't want that salary." Whatever it is, God puts you in a very, and you're like, "Okay, Lord, I'm going to follow you." And you were very, very resistant at first. But then you get there, right? And then you're thinking, you know what? This is all right. About the time you're really thinking, man, this is okay. God says, you know what? Now we're done with that. We're going to move. Come on, can you kind of just see that spirit? I don't think Elijah had that. I'm saying a spirit that we could have that type of thing and get in that kind of place. And so now he has to turn to a poor widow mother and expecting her to feed him. So aside from being extremely humble for Elijah, right? Very humble that he's going to this woman and asking this widow woman to take care of him. Not only that, but there's also this measure of feeling inconsiderate toward this widow. We had looked at this. I want to go back
Do y'all have that at the beginning of yours?
No.
Let's go back. I thought we were going to read that. And let's see here. We're not going to read it here. So I want to go back and read it. It's not in our text, but I want us to go back. And that's in 1 Kings chapter 17. And I want us to go to... We read this at the beginning, but we need to kind of refresh this a little bit. That was last week. So, 1 Kings chapter 17, and let's go to verse... We did verse 9 and 10. So, let's start at verse 10. So, he rose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, oh, by the way, I'm adding that, right? He said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." Okay, listen, God said she's going to take care of you, right? So for him to ask her, go fetch me, I pray thee, in Hebrew terms is, could you please give me some water? Okay. It could sound a little bit, go on, woman. It doesn't have that. So it's asking her, would you give me some water? And they said, oh, yeah, on your way. And then can you give me some bread? Because he knew God said, this is a woman that's going to take care of you now. Okay, right? So that's what we have there. And verse 12, and she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I might go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Okay. So God asks you to get you in this situation. You think, okay, whatever. You know, maybe it's a rich widow. Okay. Maybe God, you know, maybe you're sitting there. Okay. God had me feeding off the raven. Now he's going to hook me up with a rich widow that's going to feed me well. You never know. So he gets there. Not the case at all. This is a poor widow woman that I don't know what it means by two sticks. I mean, is it two limbs? I mean, you're thinking, I'm going to cook this. I'm not even gathering a whole bunch of sticks. All I got is enough for two sticks. That's all I'm doing. I'm going to cook this for my son, and then we're going to die because there's no more food. Could you imagine the pit in Elijah's stomach right then? Wow, Lord, what's this? And so, but verse 13, Elijah trusted God. So we know this. And so, in verse 13, and Elijah said unto her, "Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. And bring it to me, and after make for thee and for thy son." This feels gross to us, doesn't it? Ladies first. We're gonna have lunch. Ladies first is what a lot of times we want to do. We want to try to my house, and not just my, but my grandparents, my grandparents, they'd have the big meals, and when I was a little kid, and everybody come. The men would eat first. The men would eat first, then the women would get the food for the kids, and they would go. You say, why is that? My grandpa was bohemian. Maybe that's it. I don't know, but I was thankful. No. And so I have six girls. So when they were little, I'd say, you know, pass the food around. When it came back to daddy, it stopped here. There's no second passes. So, you know, then as they got bigger, I'm like, no, I'm not waiting after y'all. Y'all get so, you know, so it's a little different. But, man, this would be so awkward. But see, this wasn't about logic. It wasn't about a cultural rightness. It wasn't about, man, how can I take food from that kid? How can I take food from this woman and from that boy? No, no. This was a case where he said, I know this is what God said. Could you imagine? Well, I hope you can't imagine. What I want to say is having this foundation of your life of trust so great that God said it, and I don't understand how it's going to work. He doesn't say we have to understand it, because we're not going to understand it. But he says this, God said it's going to happen, so it's going to happen. So don't worry about it. Don't fear. By the way, don't worry about it is not what women want to hear. Man, that's free advice right there. Hey, don't worry about it. Don't ever say that to women because they... Yeah. Don't worry about it. It's going to be fine. Yeah, that'll get you in another debacle. So, but it is this, fear not. Here's what I want you to do. Make this for me first. Wow. And then after that, go make another one. So they, we only have enough. But this is kind of how that went down. And so what a challenge. And so, man, as the story unfolds, though, what we find is God took care of Elijah and the widow and her son. And that story goes on right there. And it says there, verse 14, "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and her he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah." We don't talk about the widow as much of what happened with her, but she just, okay, maybe she realized he was a prophet, maybe what it is, there's some things there, but the point is here with him is he was answering, watch this, this is something that's fascinating. Your life isn't about just you, right? No, it's about my wife or my kids or my parents or, you know, my siblings or... No. Life isn't just about you and yours. God answered this mother's prayers by blessing her faith in God all the while feeding Elijah. Right? So, wow, what God is doing in our lives, sometimes, yes, it was for Elijah, but God could have sent to any, there could have been a rich widow that could have took care of it, or there could have been a family that had nicely prepared food, right? But no, God said, I'm going to use what I'm doing in your life to also answer the prayer of this faithful woman over here. And going to keep her and her son alive through this time. Wow, what an amazing thing. This unlikely plan was not God trying to create a difficult test for Elijah, necessarily. Although we often assume it to be the case in our lives when God's direction does not make sense. We think, God's just trying to make my life difficult. We could almost get this idea that God's just up there, watch this. Right? Because that's how we think sometimes. This is going to be fun, right? God doesn't work like that. God's trying to do something in our life. And sometimes, maybe in this case, it was less about Elijah. Maybe, you know what, this raven, we could have kept doing that. As a matter of fact, there's this woman over here that's, she's been seeking by faith a way to take care of her son. And there's nothing. So, Elijah, I'm going to use you to do something else. And so maybe what God is doing in your life, that thing that he does in your life that's challenging, it's for the purpose of God answering somebody else's prayer. Perhaps you're in a season right now when, like Elijah, when you cannot see the full picture, right? And you ask yourself, am I fully trusting God? And obeying Him in every area? Am I doing that? Is there anything I'm holding back because I do not see the full picture? Over and over again, God assures us of His love and His care for us, even when we can't see how He's working behind the scenes. And this is what God does. God's doing something, even when we can't see what He's doing. We don't get to see the full picture. And why don't we see the full picture? Well, sometimes He just doesn't want us to. It's not about us. It's not about us getting a part of this. And so there's a few verses here I want us to read. Let's go with, let's start there with Isaiah 55:8. Y'all have that there? I lost my place. Oh, there we are. All right. Okay. Good. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Yeah. So they're different. Somebody read Jeremiah 29:11. And then Luke 12:27-31. Let me read that one, please.
Consider how the Lord is coming well, because I have sinned not in the assembly. The following comes to the Lord in my very life and need. If thank God so throw the grass, which is better today and today, and tomorrow is past in the other. How much more will he throw you, O ye of little faith? And think not you want.
Well, man, don't you wish you could have the full embodiment of faith that the Bible talks about? We can, but it's a process, right? We don't just, I wish we got saved and then we got this saved card and then we got full maturity. But it doesn't work like that, does it? There's a, because it goes through this element of, well, yeah, but this particular one we're talking about, trust, faith, goes through this. Listen, God doesn't make us faith. Doesn't make us trust. It's our part. And so, listen, Elijah's test of faith was severe. It was severe in some of these areas. I mean, people want to kill him. Being fed by a raven. Asking a widow for her last supper. Right? But his trust shows us that God is trustworthy. Even when it made no human sense, Elijah followed God's direction, and through it, God revealed his power. You see, he trusted, and God revealed his power. How often do we miss seeing God's power because we didn't trust him? I mean, you know, he was right there. God wanted to do something in your life, in my life. He wanted to do something, but I kind of withheld. I kind of said, you know what, I think this is interesting, but I want to hold back a little bit. And what ends up happening is God said, I've got something, I wanted to show you something, but I can't show it to you without faith. And so then there's other times, and I know we probably have some stories here that where God did something, you trusted, and God revealed it to you, you say, wow. And sometimes there's moments like that in our lives where we actually look to that at other tough times. You say, God provided for me here. God provided for me there. And we get that trust. So, but Elijah wasn't the only one in the story who has experienced difficulty. And so we're going to talk about next week, which is number two, is the test of the widow. And so we're going to talk about her next week. But we're out of time. But I want to, somebody have a testimony of how God did something like this in their life. Some test you're at and what God did and showed his, you know, ability. Anybody want to share that? It's kind of hard. Like, I haven't been thought through this. If anybody wants to have a... Yes, sir.
The Lord has called in righteousness, and will hold thy hand, and will keep thee. for a way of the Gentiles to open the blind eyes and to bring them out of prison, from the prison, and then they're put in darkness out of the prison house.
Yeah.
And that's when I was called to the prison.
Yeah.
And the first thing that goes through my mind is, I can't believe I'm reading the Bible here.
Yeah.
But it was like the greatest decision I ever did, falling to the Lord, trusting Him to go into that environment and to be around people that were the places I went to were kind of the highest level out in California.
Yeah.
The prison that was in there were high level dealing with, you know, people who were in there for life. And just seeing the things that I learned through that.
Yeah, if we trust Him, He'll. It's that step, isn't it? It's that step. But this is what God wants us to do. It's really what He wants to do. Is He wants us to come and say, God, I don't know. And that's not, men, that's not what we do. Right? It's not what we do. Men, we don't sit here and say, you know, I'm not really sure what to do. Can I ask God? Let me just trust God. It's not what we do by nature. It's got to be something the Spirit of God. And but when we do that, here's the fascinating part about that. God empowers us with greater power than we had without His power. My strength, we find out my strength was actually pretty weak. And when we put our trust in Him. We'll get back to this. We'll talk about the widow next week. And Lord willing, get to the end of this lesson. Probably not. But we'll do this next week. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we're thankful for Your goodness to us. We're thankful, Lord, that You love us in a way that You bring us to places that we will trust You. And Lord, You want to give us a greater power than what we possess. Lord, You want to do so much greater in our lives than we can even imagine. And You want to use us to bless those around us and even those that we haven't come in contact with. And Lord, I pray that You would, Lord, help us to trust You, Lord, to lean on You. And maybe even this week, Lord, You put some options and opportunities in front of us to really let go of our own logic and to put our trust in You. And Father, we'll thank You for it now in Jesus' name. Amen.